A few weeks ago, an 89-year-old physicist sat down on one of the biggest podcasts in the world and said with his own mouth on camera that the United States is holding the bodies of four different kinds of beings that did not come from this earth. That number would not leave me alone. I started thinking, I think I've already read about the number four, somewhere else in regards to the spirit realm, written by none other than the Apostle Paul himself over 2,000 years ago. I believe he warned us against the actual four different types of beings that this physicist was speaking about. We're going to break it down. We're going to show you four types of aliens in the Bible. Welcome to the Pulse and the Big Picture Takeover. I'm Larry Ragland, and we're going to get into this. Let's go.
In the name of Jesus, you with me? Let's go.
You're watching The Big Picture.
All right. So for the record, you're not watching The Big Picture. You're actually watching The Pulse, the world renowned The Pulse that's known probably if there is any other life on other planets, which, spoiler alert, I don't believe they are, they would know about The Pulse. Okay. So I am so excited to be a part and honored that Pastor Troy Brewer would ask me to come in and fill in for him. And I'm just going to follow Bishop Alan DeDio's lead from yesterday. He called it the Revival Nation Takeover. So I'm going to call it the Big Picture Takeover of the Pulse. No disrespect. I'm not taking over anything. I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, and as I said, I don't take it lightly. I honor everyone there. Before I get into anything I want to talk about, and you're sitting there going, what in the world are you talking about? Four types of aliens in the Bible? Well, I'm just going to bring the receipts and I'm going to show you what I mean. And then you can make your own decision at the end of the program. Just don't check out till you get to the very end, because we go a little bit deep today on this program. I want to honor the man whose show this is. None other than the legendary, no other pastor, man of God in the world like Pastor Troy Brewer. I think everybody knows that. Let's just go ahead and give him some applause. Yes. Pastor Troy Brewer. Yes. Yes. So although I'm sitting in my studio in Birmingham, Alabama, I am sitting in his seat because this spot is allotted for him. And it's like I'm in that studio right now. And look at the live chat. I'm just so excited to have everybody here. Make sure you share this, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and let somebody know if they're interested in this topic, get them over here and, or at least send them the replay as well. But thank you, Troy, for trusting me to come in and fill on the Pulse. Man, I just thank God for you. And listen, viewers, if this ministry has ever fed you, and that's a silly statement because I know it has, you already know the heart behind it and the reach of what God is doing through Troy and everyone else serving alongside him. Right now, that heart is on the ground in Uganda. Pastor Troy, Pastor Liana, and the team are over there as we speak, pouring themselves out for the sake of the gospel. That's what they do. So before we go one step further, I want you to put on your heart what they're doing there. Pray for their protection, for their strength. Pray for every life that God is going to touch through them while they're there, because it is going to be tremendous. It's already been tremendous. If you follow him on social media, you've already seen what God is doing over there. Wow, it's amazing. Now, throughout the program, you'll see down at the bottom of the screen ways that you can give, ways that you can connect, ways that you can call and talk to an actual person there at Open Door. And you can get prayer, and certainly in the live chat right now. It's filling up right now, and I know that there'll be moderators in there praying for each and every one. And just the ODX and the Pulse family will be praying for each other as well. It's one of the greatest shows out there on the internet, on YouTube, and I know that God is going to bless it tremendously. Now, let me tell you a little bit about who I am. If you not familiar with The Big Picture, my name is Larry Ragland. I am the host of a podcast called The Big Picture. Love for you to follow us over at The Big Picture on YouTube. I'm also the senior pastor of a church in Birmingham called Solid Rock Church. My wife and I actually planted Solid Rock Church 32 years ago. This October, we 32 years we've been pastoring the same church. And I give God the praise for that. We've been in pastoral ministry for 37 years. The Big Picture itself has existed almost 4 years now, and God has blessed it, and God has blessed me through it to meet people like Pastor Troy Brewer. And so I thank God for what he's doing, and I thank God for what the Pulse is doing. So I want to honor the house, ODX, Open Door, and everything that's going on. I'm a partner. I've been a partner with ODX for ever since I met Troy, even before we even knew each other. And I was following him. I said, I got to be a part of this. So we are a monthly supporter. We are a partner, and we are honored to be a part of it. Now let's get into some stuff here. And, you know, I asked you to hold your judgment to the end. Okay. And, then let me know in the comment section, let me know in the live chat, and I'll go back and look at it myself. And I'm sure that I will hear some emails and stuff that I might, that ODX and the Pulse and Troy may get, but, I'm going to try my best to be biblical in everything that I'm saying. Let's look at the world that we're in right now. The world is full of chaos right now. I don't think it takes a prophetic word for us to know that. We're living in a time that is built on constant distraction. You know, it's always trying to move our attention from one place to another. And, you know, they say that, you know, a goldfish has a bigger attention span than we do now. One of the things that my wife Sandy and I talk about on our show, The Big Picture, is the world is full of what we call squirrelisms. If you have a dog like mine, it doesn't matter how much he loves you and he's focused on you, talking to you. You let a squirrel run behind you and it's over. Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. And that just seems like what we're talking about right now. We've got, I mean, just think about it. We've got the war going on in Iran. We've got the war still grinding on in Ukraine. AI, every time we turn around, we talk about AI moving faster than anybody can keep up with. We got surveillance, flock cameras, TVs are listening to you. Surveillance is quietly, and quite frankly, I think rapidly folding into everyday life. And then on top of everything, there is this surge of what is known as UFO disclosure. Now, all my life, I was raised in church and I heard people talk about UFOs and aliens. And quite frankly, I think me, my brother and my mom actually saw a UAP, if you want to call it that, UFO. I'm still old school UFO. Back when I was a young boy, come over our house. I'm convinced that it was a triangular shaped thing. That was long before I even knew about triangular craft. And it was like nothing to this day I've ever seen in my life. I'm now convinced that maybe I did see some kind of craft. But you know, what is this? What are we doing? What are we dealing with? You know, and some people are just like, I don't care anything about this. I mean, I can barely pay for gas. I can barely keep my home. I get that. I have compassion for that. But it still needs to be addressed because this is a part of what Jesus talked about when they asked him, what will be the conditions of the world when you return? And Jesus, of course, in Matthew 24, led with, see that you are not deceived. That's the first thing he said, see that you are not deceived. I want to say that to the viewer right now. It's imperative for you to understand everything that's going on right now, from gas prices to food prices to what they call affordability, shrinkflation. You know, you go buy a Reese's cup now, and it's like a not much bigger than an M&M. They're getting smaller and smaller. That's a slight exaggeration, but everything's getting smaller and more expensive. So yeah, that's the real world that we live in. And you might be thinking, why would I care about stinking UFO disclosure? It's all fake. It's all just a narrative of the government. They're never going to tell us the truth. Well, partially that's true. But I want to submit to you that partially you need to understand that that's the days of Noah. You read on in Matthew 24, beyond see that you are not deceived. He talks about wars. You know, obviously we're in the middle of a lot of wars, earthquakes in various places. And it doesn't just mean earthquakes around the world. It means earthquakes in places you wouldn't expect and elevated in intensity. Well, we're seeing that as well. Pestilence, we're seeing that as well. Look at what we just went through, even though it was fake, even though I digress before I get in trouble. It is what it is. But then he says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Goes on to say that there will be as in the days before the flood. So he knew exactly what he was talking about. Obviously, he did because he's God. But he understood that the people listening to him would understand what he really meant. He wasn't talking about, you know, you look around and see, you know, a male and a female of every animal walking across your yard, okay, on their way to some big boat somewhere. No, he wasn't talking about the animals. He wasn't talking about the boat. He wasn't even really talking about the rain. And to some extent, he wasn't talking about the water. He was talking about the environment. He was talking about the conditions of the world in which Noah had to build that boat. We can't even hardly even fathom it in the sense that there were literal Nephilim, literal giants, massive hybrid beings mocking him and ridiculing him and had been normalized around him while he's obeying God and building this thing called the ark. So what about right now? So when you talk about the UFO disclosure and you talk about, you know, we're not going to go into it today, but you subjects like Bigfoot, subjects like Nephilim. And I know Pastor Troy has actually seen a giant. Okay. My goodness. How many people in the world has actually seen a real giant? Very few people. Pastor Troy Brewer and his team have, because they're real. But it's all a part of the deception. It's all a part of a trying to get our eyes off of our Creator. And that is ultimately what I believe that the Nephilim, what the UFO disclosure is all about. Now, I want us to get deep into this, all right, but in the UFO disclosure. And when I say UFO disclosure, that disclosure in itself, that word means the unveiling, the revealing. And even as we speak right now on Wednesday, August 5th, there is a rumor that I saw just before we go on the air on this program that the gentleman, I cannot think of his name right now, that was credited of having inside White House sources, that was the one that put out there that Donald Trump had had a speech that we are not alone planned for the 79th anniversary of Roswell. Well, it came and went, and that was because he was in Turkey during that time and the war had escalated. Many people believed that he probably had that speech ready, but he didn't go for it. Well, even as we speak, within 24 hours, this is according to this person of this live show, he is supposed to be getting ready to make this speech. Now, I'm just relaying what I read. I'll believe it when I see it. But I do believe that President Donald Trump I think we all know and follow him enough to know the personality, I should say, of President Donald Trump, that if he knows anyone in the world is ever going to step to a podium and say, we are not alone, it's going to be him, okay? He's not going to let anyone else be the quote-unquote disclosure president. He's going to be that. So I think it's something that we need to take very seriously, and I think we need to understand also that people, and probably many of you that are watching right now, have had actual encounters with some type of beings. What are those beings? That's what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes. But there's a lot of theories and there's a lot of narratives and it's being spun right now. What we have to do as believers is we have to look at the whole world through a biblical lens. If you are not perceiving and interpreting and funneling what is coming through your eyes and your ears through a biblical worldview, then I want to just go ahead and say that you're probably going to be a part of that deception, and you're probably going to be a part of the great falling away that the Bible talks about. And let me also say something about the great falling away. Many of you will disagree with me on this, but here's the reality. You can't fall away from a fallen state. So it's not talking about the condition of the world. It's talking about the condition of the church. Now, I want you to get your Bibles out, and I want us to get into something right now. Now, I want to talk about what happened on a podcast, and I'm going to show it to you right now. It's one of the biggest podcasts out there. It's called The Diary of a CEO. Many of you are very familiar with it. Dan Farah, who is the producer of the documentary that you can rent on Amazon called The Age of Disclosure, was on this program alongside an 89-year-old man that's very well known in the UFO world, physicist Dr. Hal Puthoff. And this is just a part of it, okay? So I'm going to take you there, and I'm going to show you this. This is The Diary of a CEO. This is 18 minutes, 57 seconds into it. If you want to find the entire broadcast yourself, that would be good for you to watch it and go watch the whole thing, because it's very, very interesting, because the whole thing is about this subject. But I want to play this one segment here, and I want you to listen to what he says about the four different types of alien beings that the government says that we have.
And do people think that there's one type of non-human intelligence that's visiting the Earth, or is there many, many types?
People who have been involved in recoveries have said
there are at least four separate types. Now, I have not had direct access to that, but I believe the people who I talk to. Four different types of life, at least.
Yeah. And the people I've talked through the process of making the documentary, both on camera and off the record sources, and the people Hal's talked to over the decades, have said that there have been dozens of recoveries of crashed craft.
All right, so you heard them both agree to the fact, and Putoff was the one that said it, but of course Dan Farah is in agreement with it, four different types. Well, then we go to Joe Rogan. And let's see, this was, I don't know actually when this actually aired, so listen to this. In George Knapp, is that his name? No, I can't remember. But the reporter that you're going to hear make this statement, he's one of the famous reporters that's been reporting on UFO all the way back. He was the first one that reported on Area 51. So here we go. Listen to this on Joe Rogan.
Anyone come to you and describe the different kinds of beings and how many they think there are?
I'll give you a cool story. You'll like this. Okay. I talked before about the paper trail, how there is a document, a trail of documents that you can look at. There was a chapter in a textbook being used at the U.S. Air Force Academy. And until UFO people found out about it, this is what they were teaching our best and brightest pilots at the Air Force Academy. And that chapter said, in the course of your career as an aviator, you're likely going to encounter one of these things. Here's what we know about them. We know that there are four different alien races visiting this planet, and they've been here for thousands of years. Now, that is blockbuster stuff to be teaching future Joint Chiefs of Staff members and commanders of air bases.
When was this
Now, listen to this. I'm going to back it up, but I want to play this one segment one more time.
This is in the 1960s. You're likely going to encounter one of these things. Here's what we know about them. We know that there are four different alien races visiting this planet, and they've been here for thousands of years.
Four different alien entities that are visiting this Earth, and they've been here for thousands of years, basically saying longer than humanity is what he's producing there from his words. Now, let's go back to this right here, and then I'm going to show you what the Word of God says. And this is from the New York Post. This is based on Hal Putoff and his statement on the Diary of a CEO when it went viral. Four alien species have been pulled from crashed UFOs, ex-government researcher claims. The U.S. has recovered four distinct species of extraterrestrial life from crashed UFOs, former research CIA-funded government researcher said. Dr. Hal Putoff, what we just showed you, and Dan Farah from the Age of Disclosure on the podcast. These are the four that he is talking about on your screen. The mantis, which is also known as the insectoid, the gray, the reptilian, and the Nordic. You see the difference of the heights, supposedly, of what they are. Now, the mantis, depending on who's talking about it, is said that because it supposedly looks like a praying mantis, which is crazy to me. Then you have the reptilian that looks like a lizard. You have the gray that is the most commonly known in movies and in what people who are part of an abduction says that they encounter. We'll get to that in just a moment. And then you have the Nordics. It's very interesting. This is a species class called a humanoid. And it supposedly looks like us. And we'll get into that. So you have these experts, so-called experts, saying that there's four different types of bodies. They're also basically are saying that that there is rumors that we have made agreements with them, that we have learned from them. Now, while insiders are naming four species, the Pentagon's own office, Arrow, is denying that and saying that there's no such thing. NASA says there's zero proof that anything exists. So what is the truth? Well, what is the truth for me and you is not based on what CBS or ABC or some YouTuber says. The truth is the Word of God, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So let's get our Bibles, and let's look at some things here. You ready? I want to take us to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is writing to a church surrounded by temples and magic and sorcery in that time. The worship of powers was very prevalent in that time, powers that they could not see. There's a lot of false gods in that day and time. Now, I want you to watch what he describes that we're up against. When you get to your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle," you ready? "Against flesh and blood." Count them with me, class, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom! That hit me several weeks ago, and I went back and looked at it, and I thought, are you kidding me? Has this been hidden in plain sight in the Word of God all along? Since the 60s, we just heard on Joe Rogan that they were training pilots in the 60s. You do this long enough, you are going to encounter one of four different types of beings that are not of this world, that have been here for thousands of years, that predate us. Then you have Dr. Hal Puthoff, who is a leading voice in ufology, says all the people that I'm contacted, that I'm connected with in the high places of government are all telling me the same thing. I trust these people, that there are four different, he says at least. But he says, I'm going to go to that in just a minute, why he said at least. There are four. Everybody keeps saying four. Because I know in the comment section right now in the live chat, people are going, there's more than four. I'm not doubting that they might not be encountering and seeing things more than four. I want you to understand something. There are four authority structures that Paul is describing. He named these categories. I call them categories. There are four of them: principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world or this age, and spiritual wickedness in high places, heavenly places. He names them. Four ranks in the demonic spirit realm: organized, distinct, and named by an apostle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit over 2,000 years ago, before the first man ever reported a so-called craft in the sky. This is a chain of command. God's word is not confusion. He's not the author of confusion. Why would he list four different things that we wrestle against? He wasn't just talking about just angels. He said, these are our enemies. These are the four levels of warfare that we face. Of course, at the top is Lucifer. But principalities, rulers of powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, this is a chain of command. It's our enemy. Our enemy has structure, jurisdiction, authority, and I believe runs from the top all the way down. These ranks in Ephesians chapter 6 hold real territory. You don't believe that? Go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, I believe, I call it a masterclass in spiritual warfare. I believe it tells us exactly what we're talking about, that people are encountering. Daniel 10:13 talks about, you know, let me give you a little backstory. He's been having visions about the end times. Quite frankly, I believe having visions about us. And he's having visions about these end times, and it's causing him to be distraught. And he's becoming weak. And he's praying for God to help him and give him the understanding of what he's seeing. And 21 days comes and goes, and he's heard nothing from heaven. And he's used to hearing from heaven. And on the 21st day, in verse 13, in chapter 10, an angel comes in the room. The angel comes in the room. It's the same reaction that every angel has to say when anybody sees him: fear not. Don't be afraid. Why? Because the first initial reaction that he sees him in the glorified form of the angel. But I'm going to show you that something shifts in him, okay? So he begins to explain to Daniel in chapter 10. I want you to know, before we go any further, I need to say this to you. Before you start asking me questions, let me make it very clear to you. The day that you turned your face towards God, to heaven, and sent your prayer, heaven heard you, and I was dispatched. but I have been held up. Verse 13 says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me and held me back. And I have been fighting to get through this principality for 3 weeks, 21 days. In fact, the only reason I'm here is because God had to bring Michael up to the game. One of the chief princes, that's what they're the same thing. Princes and principalities, same thing in the spirit realm. He came to help me, for I had been left alone with the king of Persia. Wow, isn't that interesting that here we are talking about spiritual warfare. We're in the midst of a war with Iran, and Persia is Iran. I believe that this war in Iran is about more than oil. I believe there's a spiritual aspect here that even is tied into what we're talking about on this program. The prince of Persia in that verse, it's not a man, it's not a palace. It's no human king. None of them holds up an angel that required Michael to come in and break this fight. No, this was an unseen power assigned over a kingdom, over a region that took an archangel to break through. And then he says at the end, how about this? This is interesting to me. The Bible says that at some point, something happens to the body of the angel to where it goes from do not be afraid because, you know, what you're seeing is the glory of God and all this. And David's got his head down. Daniel has his head down and Daniel's not even speaking and he's weak. Something happens because that angel is able to transfer, maybe take on some type of body, because we know the Bible says in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel physically feels him touch him. And when he touches him, he's encouraged. He gets energy. He gets strength from the touch of that angel. They're ministering spirits, right? And also touched his lips, and Daniel then felt free to speak. Very interesting. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, be kind to strangers. I mean, they look just, you don't know any better. They're just strangers. They look just like you. They're human beings just like you, so that you think, but you may have entertained an angel unaware. So we do know that at the very least, there are certain species. I don't know to what extent all angels can do this, but there is at least species of angels that can take on the form to look like a man. We see that when the angels visited Abraham and then Sodom and Gomorrah. We see it throughout scripture. Okay. But then something must have happened towards the end, and Daniel finally got it because he said, do you know why I've come to you? In verse 20. And he goes, you know, there's something happens right there, either a head nod, yes, I got it, or they had a conversation that's not recorded, because the angel feels like he has accomplished what he has to accomplish because he's about to leave. And he says, I'm about to leave. And he goes, in verse 20, he says, now I must return to the fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come as well. So a prince over Persia, principality, a prince over Greece, principality, unseen authorities standing behind named nations, those are territorial spirits, powers, straight out of the text of Ephesians chapter 6 that Paul wrote. When Paul writes about four categories in Ephesians, he's describing something with real structure and real assignments. Are you hearing me? Now, I want to get down to these four reported alien types. Okay, now what is the most prominent one that people come in contact with? Is the Greys or the reptilians? Now, I ain't worried about them because if I see them, I'm going to speak the name of Jesus against them, okay? But it's time for us to compare them and see if the Word of God gives us any revelation on these four different types. Now, watch what happens when we lay the two lists side by side. Mantis, reptilian, Nordic, and gray. I'm going to show you what I call the Gospel According to Larry, Larry's Unauthorized Version Translation, okay, of who I believe these four entities are in Scripture. I believe they are in Ephesians chapter 6. So let's lay them side by side, and let's look at function, because remember, this is authority structures. These are levels of authority. These are who we wrestle against. Let's start with the little guy, the grays. The grays, they tend to be small, as I said, gray in body. That's why they're called that. Big black eyes. And in the story of abductions, they are the ones that are usually doing the examinations, the procedures, implants, memories that get rewritten. They come across, quite frankly, less like rulers and more like drones carrying out a task for something above them. That's the grays. Next in line is what I would say the next in line going up, and I'll explain that to you in just a moment why I'm going in this order, is the Nordics. You see on the far right-hand side, the Nordics. They are known to be, by those who have supposedly encountered them, tall, human-looking, beautiful, calm. The context stories with Nordics are the tall whites, or sometimes what they're called, the Pleiadians. They put warnings in their mouths about war and nuclear weapons, the future of the planet. They're worried about climate change. They arrive and have communication as the enlightened ones. They bring peace. They're teachers. They're concerned about older brothers. They're older brothers of humanity. They're the ones that I believe are extremely, extremely deceptive. Then what do we have after that? The guy standing right next to him. The reptilians. They are believed, for those that, quote unquote, allegedly have had contact with them. They're usually upright. They walk upright, scaled serpentine type beings. Many people say they're tied to domination, political control. Quite frankly, a lot of people believe that the reptilians, many of the people in Congress and the House of Representatives and in the Senate are reptilians. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, if you want to see a predictive programming show that really, I believe, lays out where we're at, and it's eerie how similar it is to the world that we're in right now. And what I'm talking about, it's the series V. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. Or if you have seen it, go back and watch it. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. And I would recommend maybe the second version of it. The first version was good, but CGI was not great. But yeah, man, they're all reptilians. And it's pretty wild. And then the whole thing about free energy, about the bliss that this woman, this dominant female alien is able to project love and grace and mercy and peace on all those that look up to her and receive her bliss. It's just insane. But they're reptilians in this show. And a lot of people believe the reptilians are involved in politics. They're manipulative. They're part of orchestration of the dark cabal world, the deep state. They're over human institutions. They're almost never a worker like the gray. They're presenting usually as someone exercising power. And then last but certainly not least, there is the insectoids or the mantids or mantis. They're tall and they're called that because they supposedly resemble, as crazy as this sounds, praying mantis. In many of the abductions accounts, they are described as supervisors, those that are overseeing these processes. They stand over the grays and direct what happens. They do not perform the procedure. They command the room. Now, Pastor Larry, why in the world would you take an episode like this and talk about aliens? Well, let me just say emphatically, you can have your own opinions, and I'm sure there's 100 different opinions of people watching right now. I emphatically do not believe that aliens are what the narrative says they are, that they're from another planet. Even our government and the whistleblowers are not using interplanetary. They're calling them interdimensional. And you and I know what interdimensional is. That is the only way the government can say spiritual warfare. That's the only way they can say the spirit realm. They can't say, we know these beings come from the spirit realm. All right. I know there's a big debate within even the church to stop calling everything that they're just demons, because that's just like a catch-all term. Well, I'm not saying that either, because I've not even been talking about demons, depending on where you fall on what a demon is. I believe the demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim as a result of the global flood of Genesis chapter 6. I'm talking about fallen angels. I'm talking about the authority structures. Demons operate underneath the authority structures. They are limited to this earth. They roam the earth seeking a body. They have to have a vessel to be a part of. Now, some people believe that the grays fall into that. They call them meat suits, that somehow these they've created some type of body that a demon can possess. I don't know if I believe that or not. I believe that here's why I showed you the Daniel narrative and why I was telling you, reminding you about what the scripture says, to be kind to strangers because you could entertain angels unaware, is because we do know that angels, certainly certain types of angels, have the ability to take on bodily form. Now, when you're talking about fallen angels, well, they're going to typically not take on the form in their resting state, if you will, or in their interaction. If they want to have an interaction with a human being, they're not going to promote a narrative that points that person to Jehovah God. They're not going to promote a narrative saying, okay, yeah, I made a mistake. I fell. I'm a part of the third that fell, but I'm just this angel the way I've always looked because, you know, I want to point you back to God so you don't make the mistake that I did. No, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So there's got to be a false narrative. There has to be, okay, we can't present ourselves, even though the Nordics look like us, but they don't fully look like us. But there has to be, at least if you want to believe this narrative, allegedly here, that, you know, it has to be someone that can bring that peace and talk to us directly. But I don't believe that any of their narrative, I do not believe that any of these so-called aliens, and there'll be some people to push back on this, are benevolent. I do not believe they're empathetic. If you've seen the movie Disclosure Day, there's enough time for you to see it, for me not to worry about spoiler alerts or whatever. All I'm going to say is if you've seen the movie, then we know who the bad guys are. We know who the dark side is. Guess who it is? It's us. They present the humans as the bad guys. We're the ones that are destroying each other, and we're about to blow each other up. Well, the aliens are considered to be empathetic. They're considered to be benevolent. They are loving. They care about us. And of course, there's the underlying theme that they've always been here. They seeded us. They created us. They are our God. And that eventually they didn't want to come out of the shadows, but they're going to have to come out of the shadows to save us from ourselves. And the only way they can do that is they're going to have to tell us the full truth. Well, the enemy cannot tell the truth. He's a liar. He's the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. Come on, somebody. So let's go back to Paul's words. Four words. In the Greek, these words carry huge weight. Now, there's something called the law of first mention, and I understand that the law of first mention refers to find where the place, the time that it is first mentioned, and then study intensively when it's first mentioned. And then every time else it's mentioned after that, you can build off the base of that. But the law of first mention also implies really taking attention, stepping up and showing attention to anything that's in a systematic order. Now, it's not always the case, but many times in the Bible, you'll see very powerful spiritual principles listed as the most powerful or the most prominent first, and you'll see it go down to the least. It's not, like I said, it's not always the case. I'm sure some people will push back on that. But in this case, I believe it absolutely is that. I believe that the principalities, because we read about the Prince of Persia, I believe the principalities is the highest of the structured order in the kingdom of darkness. Now, we also know that principalities are also on the good side too, because principality is the prince, and the Bible says in Daniel chapter 10 that Michael is also a prince. So principality is not necessarily a demonic realm of authority. It is an angelic realm of authority. But Paul is listing our enemies. So he's saying these are the levels that these enemies operate in. And if you don't understand the levels of authority of these enemies, you will not necessarily know how to pray over your family, over your city, over your region, and over your nation. Remember, Jesus said, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Why didn't he just say, you'll be witnesses to me and to the earth? Because he's trying to tell us there is a system that if you're going to change the world, you got to go in the proper order. Before you start thinking about the world, think about Jerusalem. If we start thinking, and when you feel like you've reached Jerusalem, then go to the next level of authority. And that's, you know, it's just like a city and then a county and then a state and then a nation and then a continent and then a world. Are you following me? So principalities, the Greek word for principalities is the word archaea. And I think it's very interesting that the last two letters of that word is AI, archaea. I'm going to pronounce it that way. I'm from Alabama. I make up my own words on my show. I can say them the way I want to. I'm going to say archaea. It's A-R-C-H-A-I. And it means this: first, chief, beginning, the top of the order, the apex. Under a ranked reading, these are the highest territorial commanders in the enemy's kingdom. Not assigned to one individual, but set over nations and regions and whole systems, exactly the kind of thing that we saw in Daniel chapter 10. So we know that there are principalities that are over entire regions. Then the next one is the word powers listed in Ephesians chapter 6. That is the word exousia. Like I said, hey, if I butchered, I butchered. The word means authority and the right to act. Under a ranked reading as well, these operate beneath the principalities, but still carry a very real command. Their job is enforcement, the pressure that carries out the higher authority's agenda. Next on the list, rulers of the darkness of this world. The Greek word for that is cosmokrators. And that means their work is tied to systems of thought, culture, false religion, spiritual blindness, and humanity. This is the influence that does its best work when it does not look evil as all. Okay, we'll get to that and meaning what that means in just a minute. And then finally, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Under a ranked reading here, these are the field operatives, the lowest level of the order. Lowest does not mean weak. It just means closest to the point of contact, the ones that touch the individual directly. Now, here is what I believe. And like I said, this is just something I feel in my heart. And it may just be for me, but I believe Scripture supports this. I feel pretty confident in what I'm about to say. That when you set these two lists together that we've just broken down, Paul never wrote the word gray. He never wrote the word reptilian. I don't believe he had to. He simply gave us the ranks, and the ranks tell us exactly what is standing in front of humanity today and what the world is getting ready to absolutely put out for us all to believe. You line them up from top down. Here we go. The apex predator that is always mentioned. Remember, there's four types of beings that for decades has been repeated over and over again. For all those that say, well, no, there's others that say there's hundreds of different types of beings. Well, look, I'm not denying the fact that these things can manifest in different ways. I'm just saying that they're coming up under four different categories. There's a reason why the government itself keeps saying we keep running into four different types of beings. Okay, they're not saying anything beyond that. And of course, I know people say, well, bless God, you shouldn't believe anything the government says. I know. I'm just going by what they've said for decades and decades and decades and what is about to come out. And God is not the author of confusion, and nothing catches him by surprise. I believe that he preemptively already put in Scripture when Paul wrote about these four rankings so that the final generation, those that are fully awake, those that are not asleep at this moment, they're going to say, this is not going to shake my faith. Paul's already talked about these four beings. Okay, so at the apex is the mantis, the far left-hand corner. Okay, this is the principality. In most every account that mantis are seen and encounter, they're usually in command. They're usually instructing others, smaller beings, to do their work. The disclosure world calls an advanced biological species. What they're starting at is, you know, what they're talking about is ancient commanding authority, wearing a body. And they have no idea what they're looking at. Have no idea. Or maybe they do. Under that would be powers in the list of Ephesians chapter 6. I believe that that is the reptilian, second from the right. The serpent form, tied to domination and hidden control over human institutions. You cannot miss the biblical thread here because scripture has connected the serpent and the dragon and to the enemy from the very beginning. Revelation 12:9 says, so the great dragon, we know that's talking about the devil, but we know that there are serpentine type beings in the spirit realm that can be seen. The disclosure world is teaching humanity to accept serpent intelligence. All started with a snake in the garden. Come on, y'all hear me. Below that, below the reptilian, and is the rulers of the darkness of this age. I believe that's the Nordic, the far right-hand side. And this, for me, in my opinion, is the most important part of this whole broadcast. Why? Because the Nordic is the friendly one, supposedly. Human-looking, peaceful, telepathic, full of spiritual enlightenment and guidance. He tells humanity in their encounters, supposedly, as people allegedly retell their stories, that it's time to unite. It's time to evolve. It's time to stop destroying itself. This message sounds beautiful. Woven all through is the quiet removal of the authority of Scripture. The uniqueness of Jesus Christ is not in the discussions that they're having. These that are going out and summoning them and having conversations with these beings. The uniqueness and the sole way Jesus Christ is removed from that discussion. Oh, Jesus is brought up, but he's brought up as another way. And certainly the creation story is being twisted away from a supreme God. And God said, let there be. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 14, no wonder for Satan himself can transform into an angel of light. The most dangerous being in the whole lineup might not be the one that frightens the people. It may be the one that immediately causes the people to trust him. A creature that terrifies you sends you running to God, but a radiant visitor who tells you the world's religions are misunderstood, God's misunderstood, and that he has come to help you ascend, can walk straight off the edge and follow him and thank him for the guidance. If a deception is ever going to move the church, it will arrive wearing light. At the bottom of that order, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the field operatives. These are the grays. The ones in the accounts doing the hands-on work on human being, not independent rulers, task workers, operating under something larger. That's exactly where the lowest rank sits in the structure, right at the point of contact. Now I'm not saying that everything that we fight is one of these alien type beings. No, understand what I'm trying to say in this broadcast is we're not fighting these beings. We're not fighting aliens. We are fighting fallen angels and demons. Fallen angels and demons. They have successfully, through programming, through Hollywood, through media, through books, quite frankly, through YouTube, through TikTok, they have molded our minds to think that this is what I'm talking about. And many of y'all can't even stand this because you're like, tired of hearing preachers talk about this. Well, guess what? You need preachers to talk about this because this is the deception that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. If you do not address this subject, the world is lining up with their answer. Can I get an amen? Now, let me just sort of land this ship here. So all I've done was compare the two and lay them side by side. In fact, if you want to get a copy of my book, it's called The Final Flood. I go deep into this subject all the way through it. It's about ancient supernatural technologies, fallen angels, and taking your place in the Noah generation. If you'd like to get a copy of it, all you got to do is scan the QR code that's on the screen or go to the Final Flood, thefinalflood.com, thefinalflood.com. I'll leave it up for a few seconds if you'd like to get a copy of it. But I think I need to address something directly. We need to deal with what is actually going on. This is spiritual warfare. Type it in the live chat right now. I believe the alien, no, it's too long. Type this, it's spiritual warfare. It's just spiritual warfare. Come on, that's what we got to get. If we don't understand that, that's why we have an armor. Why in the world would God give us an armor if we're not supposed to fight something? We wrestle not, fight not against human flesh. We don't fight against who's in the White House. We don't fight against which political party someone is. We are fighting against four levels of authority. Underneath those levels of authority are demons, obviously underneath all four of them, because all these four, I believe that these four levels of authorities are angelic fallen angel authorities, and then demons fall up underneath them. But then underneath the four, there's other angels that serve these different levels. So there's millions and millions of angels that are falling, that are fighting under these four categories. So the devil wants to take your eyes off of understanding them as angel. He wants to turn them into aliens. So are they just demons? Do we just say they're demons? I guess you could, I'm good with that if you mean they're demonic. But the world is not going to accept the church's response just saying, that's just demonic, let's move on. Well, they're under the umbrella of demonic, but they're under the umbrella of a system of demonic Luciferian authority structure that Paul, under the inspiration of God, gave us an understanding. You know what else Paul wrote? He wrote in Colossians 2:15 that Jesus disarmed, go look in your own Bible, disarmed, watch the words, principalities and powers. The two top levels. He disarmed principalities and powers. Verse 15, Colossians 2. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. What? He disarmed them. He stripped them of their weapons. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Who in the world's afraid of a man that ain't got keys to his own house? What? You come visit my house and we stand outside ready to go inside and you're like, hey, let's go in. I thought we was going in to eat. Well, I can't get here until Sandy gets home because I don't have keys. They're going to look at me. Y'all going to look at me and say, what kind of man are you? You ain't got keys to your own house? We're scared to death of a devil that ain't even got keys to hell. This is a defeated enemy. Now, it's an enemy that needs to be taken seriously. It has power, but not greater than the name of Jesus. In my name, you will cast out devils. How about this one? Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority. Listen to what he says. To trample on serpents. Put it up here while I'm reading this. Serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Serpents. Come on, that's reptilian intelligence. Come on, let that hit you. Let that land inside your brain and write something in your brain. The authority to trample the serpent was given to the people of God by the Son of God. You don't have to cower in front of an image. You don't have to let this image scare you. This is for information purposes only. I don't care if this is real or not. I'm just telling you, this is what the narrative is. I'm not giving you a narrative. This is not a narrative. This is truth. This is the word of God. So we're not trying to get you to walk away from this broadcast afraid. I'm asking you to walk away settled, standing, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Woo! Put on the whole armor of God. There's a war to be fought. We ain't scared. We ain't scared. Come on, devil. We ain't scared. Don't you talk to the devil that way. Ooh, you're going to invite. Look, I understand how this stuff works. I know the devil wants to kill me. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm telling you right now, I'm thanking God that he chose us to be alive in this moment. Are you not thankful? Are you not honored that God chose you to be alive, to deal with this mess that we're dealing with? People trying to tell us we came from aliens. People trying to tell us that, you know, all these kind of things that we got to respect our elder brothers and from another planet and all this kind of mess. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, devil. I'm just exposing. I'm turning a light on. That's what cockroaches, man. This is what's wrong with the church. Cockroaches are in the church right now. These beings are cockroaches. They've been here for thousands of years. They've been here longer than us. The angels fell before Adam was created. But they operate in the darkness. When nobody preaches on spiritual warfare and nobody exposes these things, they are able to stay in darkness. But dude, you turn the light on, cockroaches run. Are y'all hearing me? It's time for us to be like the sons of Issachar, to discern the times and to know what Israel ought to do. Amen. That's the world we live in right now. Now, are you ready? Can I pray for you? Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I pray for every single person that's watching this right now, that they would not be afraid, that they would not be moved by anything that they have heard, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You trusted us to be alive in this moment, to address this, to be the answer to the narrative of UFO disclosure. Father God, if Donald Trump comes out and says, as the President of the United States, that we are not alone, we're just going to say, yep, we've always known that. We're never alone. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. His name is Jesus. Lord, let that sink deep in our spirits right now. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Let us be encouraged. Let us have peace that no matter what is coming, no matter what the narrative is, we know the truth. In Jesus' name, I pray, settle their hearts and settle their minds. In Jesus' name. Now, this disclosure that's coming is not to, it's not going to scare us, right? We're ready for it. We're going to study it, but we're not going to be infatuated with it. We're going to know exactly what the agenda is, right? Now, we also pray for Pastor Troy right now and the team that is there. We thank you so much for spending the time here with us on this program. I hope I didn't scare everybody away. I hope Troy's not mad at me for covering all this crazy stuff. But thank you for the pulse. I feel a pulse. I'm still kicking. Let me check and see if I'm still alive. Yep, I still got a pulse. It has been such an honor to be on this show. I don't know if what I was saying made sense or not. I only had an hour. This really needed about 3 hours to teach. But Pastor Troy, I love you. Thank you for letting me fill in. Look, is this a coincidence? Maybe. Is this just a preacher trying to preach a sermon? You can call it whatever you want to call it. I believe it's a revelation. I don't believe it's just a coincidence. I believe that, how interesting is it that they keep saying four different types of aliens, and Paul said we wrestle against four levels of spiritual authority. Pastor Troy, we love you. We're praying for you and your wife and the team there in Uganda, pouring your lives out into the people of Uganda for the sake of the gospel. They need us holding this rope down at home. And, you know, we certainly want to do this. So if this broadcast has been a blessing to you and has been encouraging to you, you can find everything you need to know about this ministry and how to support them at odx.tv or troybrewer.com. And if you'd rather talk to a real person, you can call them at 877-413-0888. 877-413-0888. You need to get connected, become a partner, just like me. Me and my wife are partners with ODX. We believe in what they're doing with the rescuing of children, the reaching of the world, just like they're doing right now in Uganda. Become a partner like us. And let's just keep praying for the unbelievable work. There's nobody else in the world like Troy Brewer, and nobody's doing what the Pulse and Open Door Church is doing. And I am so thankful to be a partner and to be on board with what they're doing. As the days ahead unfold before us, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get louder and louder. It's going to get stranger and stranger. And the signs are going to become more convincing. But none of that changes where Jesus is seated or where he seated you. Stay planted in the word. Keep your eyes on him. Don't let anything move you in these last days. Take your authority, put your armor on, and be a soldier for Jesus. I love you. I'm praying for you. Keep your Bible open. Keep your eyes up. And remember this, no matter what is going on in the world, we ain't woke, but we certainly are awake. God bless. Thank you for joining me on The Pulse.